B-Pod Studios.
Ready, set, go!
This is Checkpoint XP Daily, your daily dose of esports and video game discussion. A complete look at all things esports and gaming. A production of Beasley Esports XP. Here are your hosts, Nate Bender, Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan.
Checkpoint reached.
Hey, welcome to Checkpoint XP Daily for Wednesday, June 5th, 2019. Your home for esports and gaming. Want to thank everyone listening on the Talk of Las Vegas, 101.5 FM and 720 AM, as well as KJR 950 in Seattle, Washington. Coming up today on Checkpoint XP Daily, we'll ask our social media followers what their all-time favorite E3 moment has been. That conversation is ahead here today on Checkpoint XP Daily. Nintendo surprised everyone when they announced they'd be holding a Pokemon Direct the week before E3. The presentation took about 15 minutes and gave us a look at what to expect this year for Pokemon Sword and Shield.
Yeah, specifically giving us a pretty in-depth look at some of the stuff that'll be going on in Sword and Shield. It started off with a video that they played for us that made, at least me, I don't know about you guys, I was asking a ton of questions by the end of that video.
Yeah, I have way more questions than answers.
Things like, what's up with the humongous Raichu? And things like, are we going to have team fights against the Gyarados? That's cool. And we fortunately got an answer to a lot of those. I think we should start with one of the big things that stuck out to me. Looks like random encounters are confirmed, at least for grass, it looks like.
Yeah, and the one thing I saw is, even though you still saw Pokemon kind of flying around in the wild in the sort of let's go style, they did confirm random encounters in the grass, which I think that will just add a whole nother layer to the whole catching mechanic.
That's what I think it is. I think they're looking at doing layers here and providing multiple ways to play, because even when you saw the Pokemon that were like just walking around out in the open, they mentioned later that depending on area, time of day, and weather effects will determine what types show up. So I think that's just another way to sort of give you access to maybe the rarer ones, such as we saw, what was it, a Tyranitar in one of them, I think.
Right, yeah. I mean, it's interesting for sure, because they're now kind of like incorporating what used to be thought of as like more MMO style mechanics, or even like open world. Like, this is definitely a far more open world version of Pokemon than we've gotten
in
the past.
And the hallways you just walk down in the past.
That's right. Yeah. They're gone are the days of Route 7, where you have there's something at a city at the end of it and a city at the other
end
of it.
Exactly. Now we have the wild.
Yeah, we have the wild. Exactly. And that's what they're calling the open world area. And I mean, just in terms of size and scope. Oh my gosh.
Like, I have to say, that aspect of Sword and Shield, I'm actually really excited for.
Yeah.
You know, the kind of upscaled, up-resed version of the Gen 1 Pokemon games that we got with Let's Go Eevee and Pikachu were really cool to kind of, like, roam around in and explore, but they weren't as kind of, like, you know, the secrets that you could find weren't as clever as, say, they were with Sun and Moon or Ultra Sun and Moon. And I think that this has given, you know, especially being on the Switch hardware, has given the Game Freak developers a real opportunity to try something new with the Pokemon world. And I'm actually really excited about that.
Well, because it's all about immersion, too. And that's the main thing, is that you go and you see this big, huge open world. You've played it before with stuff like Breath of the Wild. But now you have the Pokemon mechanic on top of a world like that. I really do think this is something to get really excited about, because I haven't played Pokemon in that way ever, so I'm looking forward to that.
To be fair, nobody's played Pokemon in that way ever.
I think that's true.
One of the things right now is we're looking at this information and kind of processing it in what we expect of previous games, and it's going to be a whole new ballgame.
Yeah, absolutely. You're listening to Checkpoint XP Esports and Gaming Radio. Want to thank everyone joining us from WXSM Tri-Cities, Tennessee, as well as ESPN Phoenix 620. We're currently talking about the Pokemon Direct that we got this week, talking about the brand new Sword and Shield games coming to the Switch. I want to talk about some of the new Pokemon that they unveiled, because this is usually a huge point of contention, right?
Yeah.
Like, we usually see a lot of people upset about Pokemon designs. I'm not so upset about this batch.
Is that an ice cream cone? Cotton swab Pokemon?
It's fine.
Like, it's not the worst. It's not
the cutesy.
It's not. Yeah, it's
you
not
get a cutesy Pokemon. One,
it's not an ice cream cone. It's not a sandcastle. I'm
not
fine
a garbage
with
bag.
It. Especially when the legendaries were revealed. Like, I'm way more okay with these than I am those stupid legendaries.
Or what about the Brandon Stark Pokemon, Corviknight?
Corviknight. We got a Raven Pokemon. I know, like,
the Raven and the Turtle, those are actually both pretty
those
cool.
Those are actually pretty cool.
Yeah,
that's the thing. You look at these, like, all right, Wooloo, we've got Mareep 2.0, Corviknight. Okay, we've got Honchkrow 2.0.
Dreadnought was actually one that I was like, okay, I can kind of get into that. Mm-hmm. The Bite Pokemon.
I feel like there's been a Bite Pokemon before, hasn't there?
I feel like there has.
I think it has been, like, Garchomp or something like that.
Yeah. Something like that, yeah. Speaking to what you were mentioning, though, about the legendaries, when the first one came on screen, all right, sure, Shield, Giant Lion, whatever.
It's
cool
not a wolf.
It.
I thought it was a wolf.
I don't know. Whatever
it
they
It is a wolf. Yeah, it's a wolf.
It's Raikou with a shield face.
But then the other one comes in, and it's basically just sans the shield, and he has a sword in his mouth instead.
Well, it's Sif. We're literally seeing Sif from Dark Souls.
Yes.
Have you, like,
and I'm just like,
did you even try?
No, they didn't. Clearly they didn't.
They could have just made a dog made of blades. Just made of swords.
I would have been far more okay with that.
At least change the color?
It would have been sort of like Solgaleo. I don't know. Anyway, we got to talk about some of the new mechanics that they added, that they're adding with this new generation. Of Pokemon.
First of all, the player has control of the camera. Has that ever been done in a Pokemon game?
No, don't think so.
It's always been fixed. Yeah,
absolutely.
There's also this Dynamaxing feature.
Look, downer here. All right, I wasn't super into Mega Evolution, but they put designs into, like, the next evolution. Fine, that's cool. Z moves wasn't the biggest fan, but everyone got a unique move. This is just this generation's, like, powered up attack.
Yeah.
But all they did is made them big, and for three turns, you're stronger.
Yeah.
Could you be any more creatively devoid?
The only thing I'm curious about on it is what the powered up versions of the moves are, because all the moves had different names once they went to the max form. So I don't know.
Because they
what
different
that's
animations.
Like.
All it did was have, like, max on the front of it.
Is that all it was? I just saw different names.
Big explosion.
Yeah. It just seems very lazy and devoid of creativity. Yeah. Here's the one thing that I'm really concerned about. We did not see it anywhere in this 15-minute presentation. A battle screen, so we have no idea what the battle system could be.
Nope.
If there are any changes, I'm really starting to worry that we may be moving towards some kind of new battle system.
Well,
I'm really nervous about this.
When they were showing off the raid mechanic, where you can have, like, it looked like four people team up, one of them did Dynamax the Pokemon, and we did see a battle menu,
like
the four move menu.
Yeah.
So in some fashion, it does exist in there. Mm. I don't know if that's only for the raid mechanic, but this looked very much like a Pokemon Go type thing. Go to a certain place on the wild area, and you can team up with people to take on a fully Dynamax Pokemon.
Yeah, I do kind of like the multiplayer aspect, the idea of it. I think that'll be kind of fun. The Dynamax thing just seems so, like, that's just
it's
such a bummer.
Lazy.
It seems like a tack on. It doesn't seem like it was anything really, even like the Super Evolution or the Mega Evolutions
were cool because like Robbie said, it felt like a new form.
And we also
this
did
is
get
just a big version of Raichu.
We also did get the release date, November 15th, 2019.
All right, well, listen, we got to leave the discussion right there, but we want to hear from you. Are you excited about Pokemon Sword and Shield? What specifically are you excited about? Is it Dynamax? Is it these new raid battles? What is it? Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. Coming up next on Checkpoint XP Daily, on this week's social media question, we ask you what your all-time favorite E3 moment has been. Welcome in Voice of the People, Saroscopic, to read your answers, and we'll give some of our own ahead next on Checkpoint XP Daily.
This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio. CheckpointXP.com.
Welcome back to Checkpoint XP Daily, your home for esports and gaming. I want to thank everyone listening on the Fanatic in Philadelphia, as well as everyone listening on ESPN Pittsburgh. Check out our website over at CheckpointXP.com, and while you're there, make sure you sign up for the Checkpoint XP Nation newsletter. Get behind-the-scenes insight photos and access to contests and unique content. All it takes is an email address and a zip code, so sign up today at CheckpointXP.com. You can also follow us over on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint underscore XP on Instagram, so that you can respond to our weekly social media question. This week, we were asking you what your all-time favorite E3 moment has been. As we get prepared for E3, I gotta know. Like, I know mine.
Yeah. I got mine too.
Mine. I'm just gonna start because I'm gonna be selfish.
Okay.
My favorite, all time favorite, best E3 moment ever was Sony coming out and announcing the PlayStation 4 and eviscerating Microsoft's Xbox One announcement.
Well, wasn't this after the rumors that all the stuff that they announced wouldn't be, like, even with the PS4, and they were just like, nah.
So, they let Microsoft play their hand, and Microsoft had, like, a whole thing about game sharing, and, like, they were trying to actively kill the aftermarket on games. Mm-hmm. They were trying to...
The year they announced you'd have to always be, online.
Yeah, throw a wrench into the GameStop model is really what that was all about.
Everyone was mad.
Everyone was furious after the Microsoft press conference.
Oh, and here's the icing on the cake. It was $100 cheaper.
That's true, too. Yeah. Sony just won on every single level. It was amazing.
Yeah, that actually was the one I was going to pick, so I'm really mad at you.
That's the real reason he went
first.
Well,
but it's also because, you know, that moment in time almost signaled for the entire gen. That day, that single day, dictated the entire sort of underlying emotional undercurrent of the whole gen.
No, I think that was the closing shot of the console war.
Yeah.
That was it. That's where it truly ended. That's really when it ended, because people went, even Microsoft fans were like, wow, they really botched that one.
Yep.
Yep. So my moment is actually one that you probably would have guessed, but not for the reason, because at the time when the FF7 remake was first announced, I let out a heavy sigh because it is not what I wanted.
Yeah.
But now, seeing everything that it's gone through and the way that people feel about it, like, I look back on that moment now and I'm like, I told you. I knew it. I could see it coming a mile away.
Yeah, but you cannot deny that one. That was one of the biggest E3 pops.
Oh, absolutely.
Ever.
Oh, absolutely. No,
ever.
It sure was. Regardless of how I felt about it at the time.
Not just in the
sure
auditorium, social media pops too.
Yeah.
People
pop
went
heard
nuts
around the world.
Absolutely.
Because even up to that, I think even as early as 3 or 4 months before that, Square Enix was still sticking to their guns. We will never remake Final Fantasy VII.
That's very true. Yeah, that was the thing. Joe, how about you?
Yeah, when I heard this question, I went completely the opposite direction with it. My favorite E3 moments are some of the cringiest moments, because E3 is good for nothing if not cringe. I remember at Ubisoft when Aisha Tyler was trying to interview the guy in the audience who was doing the Assassin's Creed cosplay, and he's clearly not into being interviewed, and she's just like, well, you look very meme-worthy, and he just goes, yes, and then she goes, do you have a meme you'd like to pitch? And he has no idea what to do with that impossible to answer question.
You don't pitch memes. Yeah. They're born out of the ether.
Literally, you could see the discomfort in the room where everyone's just like,
make it stop
just,
now.
Just go away, Aisha. Don't do this. Why would you do this to him?
Who did they have doing it before Aisha Tyler?
Mr. Caffeine, one of the all-time worst presentations ever done at an E3 conference.
Like, worse than Bethesda Land?
Oh, Bethesda Land wouldn't make a top 10 list with this on it.
But not quite as bad as Jamie Kennedy.
Jamie Kennedy.
That was awful.
May have been
was
the
that
worst.
Where he showed up drunk?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, and just started like ripping on people.
Yeah.
And no one thought it was funny.
You're listening to Checkpoint XP Esports and Gaming Radio. I want to thank everyone listening on CBS Sports Radio 1300 in Baltimore, as well as the Ticket 1230 in Roanoke Rapids, North Carolina. We're currently going through our social media question, asking you guys what your all-time favorite E3 moment was. We'll get to your responses in just a moment, but we got to send it over to Voice of the People, Sarah Skopic. Sarah, what is your all-time favorite E3 moment?
For me, because it just provided really happy memories, actually when Mass Effect 2 was announced, because before that point...
That was a big pop.
Yeah, because I had played Mass Effect 1, I was super into it, and so when I heard they were making a sequel, and of course I was just trying to dissect every little part I could of what was going to be about, what was going to happen, and stuff like that.
Wasn't the trailer that they showed the destruction of the Normandy,
yes,
and everyone lost their mind?
And we all lost our minds. For a while, we didn't think that we were going to be playing a Shepard.
Yep.
So it was a big deal.
Speaking of that, Norris, I know you'll remember this, the Metal Gear Solid 2 trailer, Gear Solid 3 trailer, the Metal Gear Solid 4 trailer. All of them were so good. All right, let's take a look at some of the responses that we had coming in over social media.
Over on Facebook, we have an older one by Hen, who says, the famed price heard round the world when Sony announced PS1 at $299 back in 1995.
Yeah. That was a big deal back then, man.
$300 for the PlayStation 1.
It was a big deal. That also reminds me of like when Sega Saturn was announced, and they said, you could go buy it today. And everybody was like, we don't want it today.
Yeah. In fact, we don't want it at all.
It's got six games on it. Why would I want that?
You can keep it.
Still on Facebook, we have Alex, who quotes, now I'm fighting this giant enemy crab. I'll attack its weak point for massive damage. Sony 2006 was a train wreck that I love rewatching.
Yeah, it is. That's a pretty fantastic one.
Was Sony 2006 not also Ridge Racer?
Same conference.
Yeah, it was not good. I mean, that's right up there with My Body Is Ready.
Yeah.
Oh,
you know,
My Body Is Reggie.
Come on, Reggie.
I mean, obviously, like we love Reggie, and like that moment has become kind of like gaming.
That's how you
history.
Create a meme, boys and girls.
Yeah, exactly.
Over on Twitter, we have Omega, who says, that guy who was showing off that Yarny game, I think it was called Untangled, and he was so excited and nervous, I wanted to give him a hug and buy 100 copies.
Ah, I remember the game. I don't quite remember the guy, though.
No,
I don't remember this at all.
Yeah, I remember Yarny, but I don't remember the guy who was presenting it.
No.
Must have spoken to you, Omega.
Yeah.
We have Teddy, who says, I vividly remember the Fallout 4 announcement and a tear coming to my eye. I was so excited.
I remember the Fallout 3 announcement because my roommate at the time was a huge Fallout fan, and like bringing it back the way that it started with a close up of a radio tube, and then it starts pulling out. Oh, man,
yeah.
It was just such a
very well
great,
shot.
Great trailer.
With Verassi, who says, Wii Music's introduction.
Oh, no, that disaster.
That was pretty bad.
I don't
that
remember
was
that
bad.
One.
It's probably better you don't.
It's a train wreck.
Okay,
yeah,
fair
it's
enough.
It's not good.
Back on Facebook, we have David, who says, Nintendo's E3 2004 conference, where they revealed the realistic The Legend of Zelda that would become Twilight Princess. Back then, a lot of people rejected Wind Waker because of the art direction, so Nintendo gave everyone exactly what they wanted.
People lost their minds.
That's right. Well, remember when The Dolphin was the name of the development project?
Oh, yeah.
We had seen development screens of a much more realistic looking,
Zelda game.
And when Wind Waker came out, everyone was shocked. One more.
Over still on Twitter, we have Perry Barker, who has gone to E3 for the last 2 years, and last year he was being granted extra playtime for Smash Brothers by the floor manager, and in 2017 being able to play Marvel vs. Capcom on stage.
Well, la-di-da, look at you humble bragging.
I know.
No one said Devolver Digital, really?
No, I know, right? Check
well, somebody
look.
Did say Mr. Caffeine might as well be a Devolver Digital joke.
Okay, that's fair. All right, well, we're going to have to leave the discussion right there, but make sure you
follow us over on social media so that you can make your voice heard on next week's social media question. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint underscore XP on Instagram. That's going to do it for Checkpoint XP Daily, the first internationally syndicated show on esports and gaming for radio. Visit our website, checkpointxp.com, for insight on esports and gaming, as well as our growing collection of podcasts and interviews. Join us Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. Eastern live at twitch.tv/checkpointxp. Our theme is provided by the band Weird At Last. Find more at weirdatlast.com. Checkpoint XP Daily is a production of Beasley Esports XP. I want to thank my crew, lead segment producing by Joe Sloan, producing and booking help from Christine Solis. Big thanks to Sarah Skopik over at the Checkpoint News Desk, and of course my co-hosts who pull double duty as producers for Checkpoint XP, Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan. My name's Abe Bender. Keep listening.
You've been listening to Checkpoint XP, a complete look at all things esports and gaming. Check out the latest esports and gaming news and opinions at checkpointxp.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.